Let's go to the movies. I wanted to watch The Internet's Own Boy, the story of Aaron Schwartz. Aaron Schwartz was the internet activist who, among other things, ended up in a lawsuit, ended up being targeted by the Department of Justice. And while he was dealing with that lawsuit, he went on to lead the opposition and lobbying effort against the CISPA sort of internet control bill and was very successful in stopping that bill dead in the track. It had been considered hopeless at the time. The documentary, if you're interested in the freedom of the internet, sort of internet control issues, the documentary is very well done and very interesting. I had not realized before I watched it, I always was, when I had heard the reports of Schwartz's suicide, there was something about it I didn't believe, but I really didn't know enough about it. What was amazing to me was I finished the documentary absolutely convinced that whatever the exact fact was, it was not a suicide in the classic sense, that this was a guy who was probably, you know, whether he was targeted by a PSYOP or assassinated, the chances of me thinking this was a real suicide was very, very small. I hadn't realized what a serious threat the litigation was. I think the chances of the Department of Justice winning their case was very small, and anything they would have to do to win it would create very bad case law and make them look very bad. So I think the Department of Justice was in a very bad place, and I think Schwartz's death was really the only way to get out of it. One of the specific indictment was because he had downloaded a great amount of documents from JSTOR, which is a service. It's basically a digital library website of a lot of the academic journals. Given his academic position at the time, he legally had right to have an access to it. I think they were afraid he was going to publish a report either about it or make it accessible. It's clear to me the blame in the documentary is put on the Department of Justice. In a million years, I don't think this was the Department of Justice. I think this was the folks behind JSTOR doing it. JSTOR, interestingly enough, is owned by a not-for-profit corporation called Ithaca Harbors, which was launched by the Andrew Mellon Foundation, I'm assuming, to really run JSTOR. And I was shocked and amazed after watching this documentary. I just thought, okay, well, I'll go look at the board and the trustees and sort of see who's governing this thing and who's really behind the targeting and destruction of this particular activist. And what do I find but on the board of the governing company, Ithaca Harbors, is none other than Pug Whitaker. And for those of you who don't remember, Pug Whitaker was the chairman and lead investor in DynCorp when they were nailed twice for sex slave trafficking in two of their assignments in Europe, and were running enforcement for the HUD at the sort of the worst of the corruption. They were also rumored to be running the Promise software system at the Department of Justice. So heavy sort of covert allegations. And he was also the chairman of the Finance Committee of Enron. So this is the guy who brought you Enron. And the fact that he's sitting as a trustee on this organization, of course, it doesn't mention DynCorp or Enron in his resume. The fact that Pug Whitaker is alive and well and sitting on the board and has never been prosecuted for the Department of Justice. No one was ever prosecuted for any of the sex slave trafficking. He certainly wasn't. He wasn't prosecuted for all of the financial fraud and money lost in Enron. And the fact that Pug Whitaker is sitting prestigiously on the board while Aaron Schwartz is hung to death, the combination was quite telling in terms of the loss of credibility of the system.